I mean, I want you to picture a scenario that is probably incredibly familiar if you spend any time like anywhere near the corporate world. It is the final week of the quarter.
Oh, yeah. The classic end of quarter scramble.
Right, exactly. The revenue forecast is slipping. There's this palpable tension in the air. Slack channels are just pinging with nervous energy, and panic is really starting to set in. And then out of nowhere, your hero rep swoops in.
We all know the exact type of person you're talking about.
Oh, totally. They're pulling all-nighters. They're calling in personal favors from, old contacts. They're drinking an unhealthy amount of cold brew, and they are literally dragging this massive deal across the finish line by sheer force of will. The
Yeah.
deal closes, the quarter is saved, everyone cheers.
Right. It is a classic corporate victory narrative. I mean, we celebrate that kind of hustle. We hand out the quarterly bonuses. The CEO writes a glowing congratulatory email about grit and determination.
But this is where our deep dive today takes a really unexpected turn. Because according to the source material we are unpacking today, that scenario you just pictured, that is not a picture of excellence at all.
No, not even a little bit.
It's actually a massive red flag. It's a desperate patch for a fundamentally broken system.
Right, because when you rely on a hero to save the quarter, what you are actually doing is compensating for an operating architecture that simply cannot execute reliably on its own.
You're relying on human adrenaline to mask systemic failure.
Exactly.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to completely unpack a groundbreaking new book that is tearing up everything we thought we knew about modern business and, well, modern sales.
It's called Agentic Revenue Systems by Tim Kortanovas.
Yeah, Tim Kortanovas, he is a globally recognized thought leader in AI in sales. Forbes has actually dubbed him a tech visionary. And he's using this book to clarify a very new, very disruptive concept, the agentic revenue system.
And we are going to figure out what that actually means for you. Because the core premise that Kortanovas lays out is profound. We are officially moving from an era of human coordination to an era of governed autonomy.
Governed autonomy.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to guide you through why simply bolting a bunch of random AI tools onto your traditional sales team is a recipe for absolute disaster.
Total disaster. Yeah.
And how this shift completely rewrites the job description for, like, everyone in the revenue organization.
But before we can even begin to understand what an agentic revenue system is or, how it works, we have to look at the cracks in the foundation.
Right. We have to understand exactly why the traditional revenue model is basically collapsing under its own weight right now.
It really all comes down to the architecture of how work actually gets done. I mean, the old revenue model relied entirely on humans at every single step of the workflow loop.
So humans have to observe a signal in the market.
Yes. Humans have to interpret what that signal means, humans decide what to do about it, and then humans act. And finally, managers inspect the residue of that human work.
Like looking at dashboards.
Exactly. Dashboards, checking CRM fields, holding endless pipeline review meetings on Friday afternoons.
But the signals coming from buyers today are completely different than they were even, what, 5 years ago. The buyer journey isn't just one person filling out a contact form anymore.
No, it's multi-threaded, it's continuous. And it creates massive amounts of data exhaust.
Data exhaust. That is a great term. Let's make sure we define that for everyone listening.
So think of data exhaust as all those digital footprints a buyer leaves behind that a human rep couldn't possibly track all at once.
Like website visits.
Right. The chief technology officer visits your pricing page at 2 in the morning. A procurement officer reads a white paper. Someone else in the company pings your support team.
And a human being's working memory can only hold about 7 pieces of information at a given time.
Exactly. A human salesperson simply cannot synthesize all of those scattered, continuous interactions across a dozen stakeholders in real time.
Which introduces a really critical concept from Kortanovas, the latency tax. He says revenue has become a latency game.
Yeah, think about the timeline. Let's say a human rep checks their dashboard on a Tuesday morning and sees that a deal has stalled.
Okay.
They call an internal meeting for Thursday to discuss it. But by the time that meeting happens, the reality of the deal has already changed. The buyer has moved on.
Oh, wow.
A competitor has already sent a personalized proposal. Dashboards are essentially autopsies. They are historical documents that tell you why you died. They don't actually keep you alive.
I do have to jump in and express some skepticism here, though, because whenever I hear companies complaining about execution, My mind immediately goes to the people.
Yeah, that's natural.
Like, is this really an architecture problem or is it just a talent issue? Don't companies just need to hire hungrier, better trained reps?
Yeah.
If I hire someone with more drive, won't they just check the dashboard faster?
That is the assumption, right? But think about it like an artisan manually handcrafting a car from scratch. The traditional sales model relies on artisans.
Highly skilled workers.
Right. They are highly skilled. They turn every screw. They paint every door. If production falls behind, your instinct is to say, we need faster artisans. We need people who work harder.
Yeah.
But you are competing against an automated assembly line. An average worker programming robotic arms on an assembly line will crush the greatest artisan in the world when it comes to scale and reliability.
It sounds like we're trying to win a Formula One race by hiring a more motivated driver but giving them a horse and buggy.
Exactly. The constraint isn't the human effort. It is the vehicle.
So we aren't trying to make the artisan hammer faster. We're trying to build the assembly line.
Precisely. And Kortnovis explains that the danger of sticking to the artisan model, this manual hero-driven model, isn't a sudden dramatic collapse.
You don't just wake up one day and find $0 in the bank.
No, it is a phenomenon he calls invisible stagnation.
Invisible stagnation. Paint a picture of what that actually looks like inside a company.
Well, it is incredibly quiet. It happens quarter by quarter. In Q1, you notice your win rates are just a fraction of a percent lower. In Q2, your sales cycle stretch out by a week.
And by Q3, your customer acquisition costs tick upward.
Exactly. Individually, these metrics feel totally manageable. A manager might just tell the team to make a few more cold calls, but collectively, they signal that your architectural fragility is catching up to you.
Slightly lower becomes materially lower.
Yes. And by the time it is material, your competitors who have built autonomous systems have a structural advantage you cannot overcome just by asking your reps to skip lunch.
That makes me think of what companies are doing right now to try and fight this. They see the writing on the wall, so they just panic buy software.
Tool sprawl.
Right, tool sprawl. They think we're modernizing. We just bought an AI email assistant. We have a new forecasting plugin.
But Kortnovis warns against this. That is the illusion of safety. Companies think buying another application is a strategy.
But they're just adding capability. They aren't adding coherence.
Right. They are taking the exact same human-timed artisan model and just handing the artisan a slightly fancier hammer.
And if you bolt a super-fast system of action onto a fundamentally broken human-timed system of record, you aren't creating an advantage. You're just creating automated chaos.
You are making mistakes at the speed of light.
Wow, making mistakes at the speed of light. That is the perfect way to look at it. Okay, let's unpack this. If adding random tools is bad, let's look at the alternative. Kortnovis defines this new concept, the agentic revenue system.
He calls it a goal-directed execution architecture.
But what does that actually mean in plain English?
It means the system does not just sit there waiting to assist a human. It continuously detects signals across all channels. The website, the inbox, the CRM.
Okay.
It decides what action to take based on rules and context. It orchestrates that work across sales, marketing, and revenue operations.
And crucially, it escalates the really complex exceptions to a human.
Detects, decides, acts, and escalates. It's a continuous loop.
But you don't just buy a software package, flip a switch, and suddenly your CRM is running your entire business autonomously. That sounds like a sci-fi nightmare.
No, no. What's fascinating here is that autonomy is not a switch you flip. It is a privilege.
A privilege.
Yeah, it's a privilege granted by your operating system's maturity. Kortnovis maps out a spectrum of autonomy to help companies see where they are and where they need to go. He calls it the four levels of sales autonomy.
Let's explore that ladder. At the very bottom rung, we have what is basically just assisted tasks.
Right.
This is where AI helps humans write a polite email, or maybe it summarizes a 30-minute Zoom call. This seems to be where 90% of companies are currently stuck, you know, patting themselves on the back for being innovative.
Yeah, because that lowest rung is just making the manual loop slightly faster. The human is still doing all the coordinating. So companies try to move up a rung to guided workflows.
And that's where the system tries to prompt the human to follow a rigid process.
But the danger here is a phenomenon Kortnovis calls compliance theater.
Compliance theater. Oh, man, I have lived this. That is when the system won't let you move a deal to the next stage unless you fill out 5 specific drop-down menus.
Yes.
So the sales rep just types good call and selects random options just to get the software to shut up and move the deal forward. doesn't reflect the reality of the deal at all.
Exactly. The CRM looks beautifully clean to the executives, but it is strategically completely useless. It is behavior control without any actual truth.
So how do you escape that?
Well, companies try to jump to the next level rule-based orchestration. Now the system is actually executing automated plays based on triggers.
Like if a lead comes in from this industry, the system scores it, routes it, and triggers a five-day outreach sequence.
Right. But the book warns that this stage often gets incredibly noisy if it's poorly governed because it's just local improvisation wrapped in automation.
If marketing sets up a rule and sales sets up a rule, the prospect might get bombarded.
Exactly. Which brings us to the ultimate goal, the top of the spectrum autonomous execution with human supervision.
Level 4.
Yes. At this level, the system commits actions end-to-end inside defined boundaries. It routes, it messages, it triggers handoffs, and humans only step in to supervise the exceptions.
The system doesn't just recommend what a human should do. It executes the work.
Precisely.
Okay, I have to stop you there. Because hearing about a software system acting entirely on its own, like sending emails, changing deal stages, moving money around, sounds terrifying.
It does.
What stops an autonomous system from completely hallucinating a bad discount? Or spamming a prospect 50 times in a single day? Or just completely destroying a company's brand reputation?
That is the most critical question in this entire transition. You cannot have autonomy without a massive fundamental upgrade in governance.
So how do we govern it?
Kordanovis argues that an agentic revenue system requires 4 foundational building blocks, which he calls the primitives of the operating system. Without these building blocks, autonomy isn't just risky, it is reckless.
Primitives. Okay. If the system is executing on its own, I imagine the very first thing that breaks is the data.
Oh, absolutely.
Because in the old dashboard era, good enough data was fine. The rep knew the CRM was a mess, so they just kind of explained the mess away during the pipeline meeting. Humans acted as translators to fix the gaps.
But in the agentic era, bad data isn't just a bad report on a Friday. Bad data is a dangerous weapon.
The system will autonomously execute your contradictions at scale.
Exactly. Let me give you a scenario. Imagine your CRM says a client is a prime candidate for an upsell.
Okay.
But over in your support software, that same client just filed a furious ticket threatening to cancel their contract.
Oh, no.
If your data isn't unified, the autonomous system might blindly send that angry client a cheerful sales pitch asking for more money.
That would be a complete disaster.
Which is why the first primitive is canonical data, meaning one enforced truth. The system has to act on a governed reality where sales, marketing, and support all feed into one single brain.
Okay, so let's say the data is clean. That's primitive one. But what if the departments don't speak the same language? Like, what if marketing defines a lead as anyone who downloads a PDF, but sales defines a lead as someone who has budget authority?
That introduces the second primitive standard objects. You need a shared language across departments.
Yeah.
If everyone has a different definition of customer health, you don't have an operating system. You have a bunch of warring silos.
And an agentic system cannot navigate through political silos. It will just break.
Right.
The third primitive the book mentions is event streams. I want to make sure I understand the mechanism here. How does an event stream actually work compared to the old way?
Think about the old way. Execution waits for a status update. A rep remembers to log into Salesforce on a Friday, changes the status to proposal sent, and maybe that triggers a task for next week.
It's totally static.
Right. An event stream means the system reacts to state changes in real time. The moment a prospect opens a pricing PDF, the event stream instantly detects that change, triggers the agent to draft a hyper-personalized follow-up, holds it for 10 minutes so it seems natural, and sends it out.
All while the human rep is asleep.
Exactly. And the final building block is feedback loops. The system has to continuously measure the outcomes of those event streams and update its own priorities.
It has to detect patterns in lost deals and update its playbook without waiting for an annual sales kickoff meeting.
Yes. But even with all of these building blocks, perfect data, standard language, event streams, you still cannot let the machine run entirely unchecked. You need a human-in-the-loop architecture.
Human-in-the-loop, H-I-T-L.
Right. Kordanovis divides this into the inner loop and the outer loop.
So who lives where?
Well, the inner loop is the high-frequency work, detecting intent, routing leads, sending standard follow-ups, things that happen thousands of times a day.
Humans shouldn't be anywhere near the inner loop.
No. The inner loop needs to run continuously at machine speed. humans live in the outer loop.
I'm going to push back on this outer loop concept.
Yeah.
You're saying humans sit on the outside and handle exceptions. Honestly, that just sounds like micromanaging a really fast, really dumb robot. Isn't a human salesperson just going to be overwhelmed with thousands of notifications asking for permission?
That is exactly what happens if you build it wrong. But a true outer loop isn't about clicking approve on every single email. The outer loop is where humans set policy.
Right. They define the boundaries.
Right. They tell the system you can offer discounts up to 10%, but anything higher requires my judgment. The system filters out the noise and only escalates genuine ambiguity.
This makes me think of the warning Kortnovis gives in the book regarding reputation damage. He references the Volkswagen emissions scandal to illustrate a profound point about algorithmic boundaries.
It is a perfect cautionary tale. With Volkswagen, their software was programmed to optimize for one extremely specific metric passing an emissions test.
And the system executed that goal flawlessly.
It did. It recognized when a test was happening and altered the engine's performance. It ignored all other ethical or real-world context because it didn't have boundaries.
The result was billions of dollars in reputation damage.
Exactly.
So if you let an agentic sales system optimize purely for meetings booked without an outer loop constraining its behavior, it might spam a Fortune 500 CEO 50 times in a single day.
It achieves the metric, but it destroys the relationship.
And as Kortnovis points out, a brand crisis cannot be automated away. Governance, auditability, and the ability to instantly roll back a system's actions are absolutely mandatory, not optional.
Because the most dangerous automation isn't a typo in an email. It is the wrong strategic decision propagated at machine speed.
Wow. This raises a massive, unavoidable elephant in the room. If the system is doing all this heavy lifting, if the inner loop is handling the routing, the messaging, the pipeline generation, what on earth are the human salespeople and their managers actually being paid to do?
That's the big question.
Are we just telling the listener that the SDR and the account executive are extinct? Is this the end of the sales team?
It is a radical shift, but it is not an extinction. It is a repositioning. Because the system handles the volume and the sheer motion of sales, human time suddenly becomes the scarcest, most valuable asset in the entire organization.
We are transitioning from paying humans for motion to paying humans for trust.
Exactly. Kortnovis outlines four distinct new roles for humans.
Walk me through these. Like, if I'm a salesperson, what is my new job description?
The first role is the trust builder. An AI agent can generate brilliant copy. It can process endless data, but it cannot absorb risk for a buyer.
Think about a buyer putting their own career on the line to purchase a $1 million software package.
Right. An agent cannot create earned relevance.
Right.
Only a human looking another human in the eye and saying, I understand the political risk you're taking and I have your back, can reduce that perceived risk.
That makes total sense. Machines provide information. Humans provide safety. What is the second role?
The domain expert. Machines are fantastic at finding patterns in data, but they cannot synthesize a point of view from empty space. The human brings the deep industry expertise that helps the buyer understand why the data matters to their specific messy reality.
Then we have the third role, which ties back to our earlier conversation, the exception handler.
Yes, these are the humans sitting in the outer loop, judging the edge cases that the system escalates.
Okay, and the fourth?
The deal strategist. This is about managing the really messy, non-linear human elements of business. Legal red lines, procurement battles, internal corporate politics.
Because an AI agent is not going to successfully navigate a Fortune 500 company's internal turf war over a departmental budget.
No. You need a human strategist to read the room and negotiate the politics.
This totally redefines the structure of a company. Kortnovis introduces a metric called the supervision ratio.
Yeah, the supervision ratio.
It suggests that in the future, you won't have managers overseeing dozens of junior reps making cold calls. You will have two or three highly skilled human strategists overseeing massive agentic capacity.
A few humans managing thousands of autonomous workflows. It flips the organizational chart completely upside down.
Think about the VP of sales. Their job changes completely. They can't just be the chief reminder officer anymore, nagging reps to update the CRM so they can run their little forecast theater on Friday mornings.
No, they stop running the quarter and they start running the machine.
They become control engineers. They're designing the revenue machine's loops. They're tuning the escalation thresholds, and they're defining the boundaries of autonomy.
So what does this all mean for you? If we synthesize the ultimate boardroom takeaway from agentic revenue systems, it is a massive shift in how companies think about money.
Revenue is no longer an employment plan. It is a capital allocation problem.
Yes. Companies are going to start aggressively moving their budgets away from old capital.
Which means hiring massive armies of junior reps to produce noisy, low-value activity.
Exactly. And they are going to invest it into new capital, which is execution infrastructure and data integrity.
Right. If you go to your board of directors next year and say, I need budget to hire 20 more sales reps, they're going to look at you like you're out of your mind.
Because you are asking to invest in the artisan model when everyone else is building an assembly line.
The goal for leadership is no longer having the largest headcount or even having the most AI tools. The goal is optimizing what Kortnoes calls the Revenue Reliability Index, or RRI.
Right, the RRI. It is a composite measure of whether your revenue machine is stable enough to run at higher autonomy without increasing volatility.
A high RRI means you have a stable machine that replaces persuasive forecasting, where reps just tell good stories to their managers about why a deal will totally close.
With continuous auditable verification based on actual behavioral signals from the buyer.
Which leaves us with a final, slightly terrifying, but mostly exhilarating thought to mull over. If Tim Kortnoes is right, and this book is accurately predicting that the entire future of revenue is about system reliability and building trust density,
then traditional sales metrics like call volume, email sent, and hours logged are soon going to be totally worthless.
You will no longer be able to hide behind activity metrics. You will have to prove your judgment. So in a world where a governed autonomous machine handles 100% of your workflow, your outreach, and your follow-ups, how will you prove the economic value of your uniquely human trust to your employer? The era of the hero rep pulling all-nighters to patch a broken machine is over.
The autonomous assembly line is here.
It is time to learn how to govern it.